Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you. Thank you, Lord, for sending St. Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles, who in Romans 7 shares from his heart the struggle we all have as sinners. He is honest about the fact that the commandments, which should give him a sense of to whom he belongs, convict him of his sin. And he finds as he struggles in his flesh to overcome the sin, he doesn't do what he wants to do. He does what he doesn't want to do. He doesn't do what he should do. He does what he shouldn't do. He comes to the point of recognizing that he is wretched and a failure on his own. And he asks, who can save me from this? And he says, thanks be to God through Christ Jesus our Lord. Because it is only through you, Lord, and your grace that we can know to whom we belong, that we can trust and believe in you, and we can become who you want us to become. So, Lord, we ask this day as we hear this struggle by St. Paul and we hear the words of the gospel, the good news that your yoke is easy and your burden is light. Lord, help us to understand how you want us to come as humble and repentant sinners to you who is gentle, to you who is humble in heart, to you who has won victory for us. You want us to come to you and receive from you the forgiveness of our sins, the promise of everlasting life, victory over sin, death, and the devil, and eternal life. Lord, we thank you that you are so awesome and that you want us to understand this and to walk in it each and every day. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, dear Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask you to do something that I don't normally do. I'm going to ask you to try to help me bridge two lessons. Usually I just take one lesson and we work through it, but I'm going to ask you to help me bridge these two lessons because it is so easy for us to hear the end of Matthew 11 where Jesus is talking to his disciples and he says these wonderful words, come to me all who labor and are heavy laden and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. We can simply stay there, but sometimes I think when we stay there, we forget about what is going on, that the Apostle Paul understood what was going on, that makes this wonderful promise in the gospel lesson so powerful. The issue that was going on for Paul was after Romans 6, where he's explained to the Jews about Jesus and the new covenant that God has made with the Jewish people and that he wants to graft them in to the church, and he's talking with them and he's talking about the law, and he recognizes that the law, which should give him comfort, because the first three commandments of the law is our relationship up with God, right? And the last seven are our relationship with one another. We should find, as children of God, knowing that we're saved by grace, knowing that we're forgiven when we sin, we should find comfort in that. As we teach our children, you know, the commandment to honor their father and mother, right? And what do we say? Hannah was just telling me this the other day. Because it has a promise attached to it, right? So there is good news in the commandments, and yet when Paul is dealing with it, he's confessing in his letter that he's struggling with the law. He says, the law that should give me a sense of who I am and help me to understand that I have victory in Christ actually condemns me and shows me my sin. And don't we talk about that when we talk about the law? When we went through confirmation, we learned about the three uses of the law. The first one was the curb on society, the curb that helps us to recognize where we should go, how we should live, right? We talked about the mirror of the law where we see our sin, where we look at our sinful human self, which is what Paul is doing in Romans 7. And by doing so, we confess our sins. The law is a guide for us on what to confess when we come before our Lord. And then the third one is the rule, which we're going to talk about when we talk about the yoke today, because it's how we then should live. How do we live as forgiven sinners? How do we live as kingdom people? How do we live as God's chosen? How do we live each and every day? So what is this yoke or burden? Well, when Jesus is saying this, if you read on in Matthew's gospel, you find out really quickly what Jesus is referring to is the law. The yoke was synonymous with the teaching of the rabbis. And it was interesting because if you wanted to follow the best rabbis, they had the biggest yokes. If I was wearing my alb, if this was the festival part of the year where I wear my alb and not my suit, I would have something on that would be the green color, right? What is it that I wear around? A stole. And the stole actually comes from the idea of a yoke. Christ's yoke. And so we recognize, and if you look at the picture there with the rabbi, you recognize that this is what for many people was the yoke. And Jesus refers to this in Matthew 23 when he says, "Then Jesus said to the crowds and to the Pharisees, 'The scribes and the Pharisees sit on Moses' seat, so do and observe whatever they tell you, but not the works they do. For they preach, but do not practice. They tie up heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to move them with their finger.'" So right there he's telling us that the leaders at the time were wanting, you know, I mean, if you think about the yokes that they put on people, you know, they had rules. Well, Chris knows because she works that. How many rules do they have? A lot. Right. I mean, there's 365 rules, one for every day. Then there's, I can't remember, 650. Yeah, something like that, yeah. I was going to actually look it up, but I forgot. But I mean, it's over 600 rules. And then if you really wanted to have a great yoke, it was kind of a mark of honor, you just add a few more, right? If the rabbi wanted to be of great stature, he would do this. And I don't know what it is about us as human beings. Well, I know what it is. It's sin. But, you know, if we want to feel better about ourselves, what do we do with other people? Pardon me? Yeah, if we want to feel better about ourselves, instead of working harder and doing better, which sounds like work righteousness, but I'm not talking about this in the sense of faith. I'm talking about this just in general terms. What do we do? It's easier if you just put them down, right? It's easier if you find their faults and you just point out their faults, right? Some of us are very good at that. I was in the military. I did this for a living. It's easy. Trust me. It's easy to point out the weaknesses. It's easy to say, you know, the idea at basic training in the military is this. For the first 3 weeks, you tear people down so they are nothing. Zip. Rick knows about this. They're nothing, right? You tear them right down so they're nothing, and then you build them up. I wouldn't say I wasn't good at it, but I never really enjoyed that part. I enjoyed the building up part, but I didn't really enjoy the tearing down part. There's some people, I got to tell you, there's some people that like it. Some people take great joy in tearing people down, and that's scary to me. But that's what was happening around Jesus at the time. There were scribes and Pharisees who were trying to give people a sense of, if you follow me, if you want to be a disciple of me, here's my yoke. Here's the 633 rules. Here's this rule and that rule, and if you do it, you can be my follower. And so Jesus is really countercultural when he says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Isn't he showing a contrast? Showing a huge contrast to the teachers of his day. And this is important because as we look at it, we understand now why St. Paul is saying what he says. Now, that's really small, but when he says, "For I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that it is good. So now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me that is in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me." Do you see the importance of confessing our sin and recognizing the sin? See the importance here? Yeah. I just think this is a wonderful example of Paul's transparency and honesty in his struggle in daily life, right? If he was going to be exalted as the apostle to the Gentiles and looked up to and everything, he's being honest here. As a sinful human being on this side of heaven, are we going to struggle with sin? Is the law going to convict us? Yes. That's why the need for repentance. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being, but I see in my members another law waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? You see, when we talk about repentance, what we're hoping is that everybody gets to this point. That's why if you look at the old confessions, we didn't use that today because it was a beautiful song, wasn't it? That was right before the confession. I thought it had summed everything up. I was kind of like, well, what is there left to say? It was wonderful. Johannes, that was a great song. We've got to do it again. But what's so amazing is we want to get to a point in our lives where when we recognize and look at the law of sin, we recognize that we are wretched, that we have nothing good to bring, right? We come only as beggars. We do not have nothing of our own. All of our works are filthy rags. There's nothing, when we think about ourselves down here, and we think about the minimum, the lowest standard of God is so far above us and our greatest thoughts and minds and gifts and everything. I mean, it just amazes me that we don't all get to this point of saying wretched. We're wretched. I remember some people said, Pastor, can you stop using these? I used to go back to the old hymnals and pick out these wonderful, I think they were translated from German, probably Martin Luther wrote them, you know. He had a really fancy way of language. And basically, when you couldn't help, if you confess those things, feeling like dirt, right? Wretched. Awful. Lowest of lowest. Dung heap. These are kind of the words he used to try to express how you ought to feel when you approach God in the flesh, as a human being, as a sinner. And so when I used to use these old ones, I'd get people saying, can we not use them in church? Why don't you write them down and we'll use them at home? It's kind of embarrassing. New people come and we put these up on the screen. I want to use those. And I'm just trying to make a point. Can we get to the point where we recognize our wretchedness? Can we get to the point where we recognize we have nothing to bring to Jesus? We simply come as beggars. We come with nothing. But look at what he says when he asks this question. Who will deliver me from this body of death? And that's why I entitled my sermon, Thanks Be to God. Because he says, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, I couldn't leave you without... Now, I don't know why we've got this verse stuff. You know, the Bible didn't come with verses and chapters. This is an addition, just so you know. And whoever did this was not doing thinking about things. And I it's always like that when we get to the end of the gospel lesson sometimes. We end with the weirdest verse. And we need a vasectomy, I think. But... We have these weird things where they end a chapter in the wrong place. So I had to put up here chapter 8, verse 1, because without this, the whole thing doesn't make sense. Because he gets to the point of saying, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord, so then I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin. And how can you not go forward with this? There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. That's why I like the U.S. Declaration of Independence, right? Because what does it say? Where does it say that these rights come from that we celebrate? Who are they endowed by? Our Creator. Yes. Right? These are not something that we come up with. These are evident. These are obvious as endowed by the Creator. They're a gift. And therefore, they should be cherished. Just like our freedom is a gift, we belong to God. He has made us right in the waters of baptism. He has ushered us in as His children. He has given us this gift. And how then do we exercise it? Well, that's why I want to talk about the yoke. Because if you look at this picture here, I always think this is a wonderful picture. Is that we have the yoke, which is Christ, and if you were a rabbi, you had the teacher and the student. They often talked about this. You had the teacher and the student, and they were yoked together. And if you wanted to follow the rabbi, you would go where he went. You would live where he lived. You would follow him, and you were yoked to him. You did what he did. You followed his rules. You were yoked to him. And I believe that's what it's talking about when Christ says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. He's saying, you come with me. You're yoked to me. You're the believer. I'm the Lord. When you walk with me, I'll carry you. I'll give you strength. I'll lead you along the path. Pardon me? Yes, exactly. And I just put this one in here on the top because I thought it was kind of funny. It says, no, I'm not talking about Twitter. I literally want you to follow me. Because isn't that the truth here? What's the yoke of Christ? Well, the yoke is the cross. Doesn't it look like a yoke up there? The yoke is the cross. Jesus says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He knows he's going to the cross. He knows he's going to win salvation for us. He knows as his chosen people, we are going to have his power. We are going to walk in his power. We're going to live with his power. It's going to be his strength. It's going to be him working in us that does the things that are pleasing to God. It's not going to be us. But we're going to be yoked to him so that when he goes in a direction, we go in that direction. When he shows us the path, we walk the path. Isn't that what the gift is? That's why it's so important when he says, come to me, all you are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, meaning I'm humble in heart, and I will put my yoke on you, and I will carry you. I will lead you. You will go down the right path because you're yoked to me. So disciples are really yoked to Jesus. And that's why we talk about the covenant relationship, the Father giving us our identity and out of our identity flowing obedience. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Are you willing to be yoked with our Lord, with the one who carried his yoke to the cross, who won victory for us, who forgives us all of our sins and promises everlasting life, who promises us if we know who we are and we belong to Jesus, the Father has given us our identity, then out of it flows our obedience, and he will give us the power to live as his people. Isn't that awesome? May we walk in his power. I want to close today by inviting Patrick Tincher up. Patrick is one of our he's college age. He's not a college student yet, but he's college age. And he's helped out, and he asked me if I would support him going to leadership training school that New Life with Meets in Our Buildings in the evenings on Sundays is putting on, and I thought it would be really good for him because he went to another course that I encouraged him and Peter to go to, and I know that they want to learn what it means to be a disciple and want to be yoked to Christ, and so I just wanted him to share a little bit of what he's doing. So can we pray for him and ask the Lord to bless him as he shares with us today? Lord Jesus, we thank you for Patrick. We thank you for his willingness to set aside this summer to be in the leadership training. We pray, O Lord, that you would bless him, bless New Life as they teach this wonderful course, and help him to grow as a disciple, to be yoked to you. For your yoke is easy and your burden is light. You invite us to let you lead us, to let you carry us, to let you help us as we're yoked to you. We ask it in Jesus' name.
Okay, so I wanted to start out with a Bible verse because it's kind of been part of the themes for LT this summer, leadership training. So as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love, John 15:9. This summer I've been with New Life participating in their summer leadership training. I've been challenged to create a lifestyle of not just abiding in God's love, but also sharing God's love. My week starts with Sunday church at New Life Ann Arbor, and it moves to a time of evangelism, and then concludes with small groups. And the evangelism time is oftentimes like going out and doing surveys, which are kind of like, hey, we're from New Church and we're in like a leadership training program. Would it be okay if we talk to you for a few minutes? And if people say yes, we kind of get to know them a little bit and then direct the conversation towards God. And if they seem interested, share the gospel with them. It's been really cool. And then the small groups are kind of just checking in and seeing, you know, how we've been abiding and stuff. And then on Monday we have a worship set and we talk, and then a talk, and then we have a time to meet up in our teams and discuss plans for the fall. And so that's been pretty cool. And the talks have been about like how to start and like lead Bible studies and actually missed last week's because I was moving, but it seemed to be a continuation of Bible study stuff from when I talked to people. And then on Wednesdays, we have another worship set followed by a guest speaker. And then we've had one talk about, like, anger management and how, like, when, like, how the Psalms are basically the most exhaustive, like, source of, like, dealing with emotions godly, in a godly way, which is really cool. And how, like, we're supposed to exhale our negative emotions, like the psalmist did, and then inhale God's goodness, which was really mind-blowingly awesome. And then sometimes Wednesday is also the, like, evangelism stuff, like Matthew parties, which is basically this idea that Jesus went and hung out with sinners and stuff, so we kind of invite non-Christians to hang out with us and just love on them, basically, which is pretty awesome. And then on Thursdays, we have more small group time. And then if you have any other questions or want to talk to me about it, otherwise you can come find me after the service.
Thank you. So just stay up here. So this, Patrick is looking at helping out more. I mean, you helped out last year with pancakes, right? Looking at helping out more in the church and in our college ministry. And so I asked him to share because I would like you to, if you can, to prayerfully consider supporting him by praying for him each day. Because whenever you take a leadership training of any kind and you put yourself out there and say, I want to follow you, Lord, I want to be a disciple, I want to do more, Satan attacks viciously. Amen? Some of us have been there, right? We all have in one way or another. So I would like to have, if I could have some people who feel comfortable come up here, we're going to pray over this young man and ask for the Lord to protect him this summer. We should have done this earlier, but I just wanted to catch up.